Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 18. In verse 33, then Pilate entered the praetorium again. This is, of course, when Jesus was going to be crucified just a short while prior. Called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" In verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." God's kingdom is not of this world. Please understand this. There are many believers who try to make God's kingdom be a kingdom of this world. You see that sometimes when people equate political viewpoint to spirituality. They are entirely different. They are not the same thing. Sometimes people confuse those and they equate them. But that's not how it works with God. God's kingdom is not of this world. Please get that into your frame of reference. It's not about this world. We live in this world just like anybody else. God's kingdom is not of this world. Therefore, those who belong to the kingdom do not conduct their lives according to this world, according to the way that the world conducts their lives. So many Christians are occupied with the worldly things. Yes, we live in the world, we're not of the world. Don't think that your place with God is equal to your conduct toward or in the world. We have one conduct toward the world, to seek and save that which was lost. That's why Jesus came into the world. That's why we're in this world, to seek and save that which was lost. And while we are here, we are being conformed to the image of God's Son. That's it. It's not about our lives in this world. If you are blessed in this world, perhaps you have a good job, a good education, what have you. Nothing wrong with those things at all. Fine. But don't make your life be of this world. Learn how to function in the kingdom of God. If you don't know how to function in the kingdom of God, then you will try to function as part of this world. You function in the world, you're not of the world. Now, this can challenge people. They want God to do things the way that the world does them. Even so-called Christians, and some of them are, and some of them I kind of have to wonder, they want God to do things according to the way that the world functions. By the way, being conservative does not necessarily equate to being spiritual or right with God. That's a political viewpoint. Sometimes we conservatives tend to confuse that a little bit. You say to yourself that being conservative means you're right with God. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. Being liberal does not necessarily equate to not being right with God. I had a friend, I'm not going to mention names here, but he was a person who was in a position to meet some very interesting, well-known people. And about 30 years ago, he met some liberal politicians. And one particular politician, he was running for a very high office. He said this guy was humble. This guy wanted to know about Christ. He actually asked him to meet him privately so he could tell him about Christ. Yet, if you were a conservative oriented to the political viewpoint of people rather than oriented to Christ, you would probably not want to have too much to do with this particular individual. But he was humble. Humility is not for the conservative or for the liberal. Pride is not relegated to the conservative or to the liberal. We are not of this world. Our kingdom is not of this world. Do not be oriented in the way that the world is oriented to the world. Be oriented to the kingdom of God and learn how to function in the kingdom of God. You are of the kingdom of God. You are not of the world. In 2 Corinthians 10:3, we walk in the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not worldly weapons. But mighty in God. Our weapons are in God. Not our weapons are for God. Our weapons are in God. There are certain terrorist groups out there, complete crazies in my opinion. They think they have weapons for God. No, your weapons are not for God. Your weapons are in God. A relationship with God. This is where you find your weapons. And your weapons are not there to kill or destroy or to harm. Your weapons are there to deal with the real problems, which are not people, are not countries, are not politics, are not organizations, are not political viewpoints or political parties. Those are not our issue. Those are not what we deal with. Those are not what we are interested in. We may belong to them. We participate just like anyone who lives here. But this is not what we are about. Our weapons are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. What does this mean? What strongholds? In Ephesians 6:12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. When we talk about warfare or when we talk about weapons, we are not talking about things in the world. We're not talking about countries or politics or organizations. We're not talking about violence. We're not talking about malice. We're not talking about animosity. We're not talking about groups. We're not talking about people at all. Please understand this, because sometimes it seems like we're starting to lose track of this. Definitely out in the world, but even in our country, you're starting to see this more and more. You cannot see this among the Christians. If you see this among the Christians, you have totally lost the point of the kingdom of God. The weapons of our warfare are different. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against people. We're not fighting against people. We're not fighting against governments. We're not fighting against countries. Even governments that we don't agree with, we don't fight against them. Now, a person may join the military just like anybody else if they feel called by God, then by all means they should join the military and they participate like any other good citizen of the country that they are in. They have all the rights and the responsibilities. They have everything that is required of them. And they also have all the benefits that any country bestows upon the people that are citizens of that country. We are no different in that respect. But when we talk about warfare and when we talk about weapons, we're talking about functioning in the kingdom of God, not fighting the world on behalf of the kingdom, but fighting a fight that is actually taking place, which is not a human fight. We do not fight against flesh and blood. Our interest is not your politics. Our interest is not your country. Our interest is not anything like that. Certainly we can and should be patriotic toward our own country, just like any other good citizen of that country should be. We certainly should uphold our country, pray for our country, pray for other countries. Certainly. But the way that some people carry it out is completely wrong. It's completely wrong. Our weapons are there not for flesh and blood. We fight against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Our enemy is not, you could say, China or Russia or any other country on earth. They are not our enemy. Our enemy is not this political system or that political system, this political philosophy or party or that political philosophy or party. They are not our enemy. We don't even worry about them. We can belong to one as we feel led, but we don't worry about them. They are not our issue. The angelic war between Satan and his angels, the fallen ones, and God and his angels, the holy ones, that is our issue. When we talk about warfare, that is the war that we are fighting, because it is a war that is very real, very tangible, and it often spills out. But Jesus said, Father, forgive them in Luke 23:34. They don't know what they are doing regarding the people who were crucifying him. But what did he say about his crucifixion? That was Satan's hour. It wasn't the Jews, it wasn't the Romans, it wasn't the Pharisees, it wasn't the scribes. That was Satan's hour. That's the war. The world is not equipped to fight that battle. Sometimes Christians are not equipped to fight that battle. You don't fight it with guns, you don't fight it with violence, you don't fight it with anything that the world fights with. Those are not our weapons. You have to understand how to function in the kingdom. Too often people do not understand how to function in God's kingdom. Number one, in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, this is our first weapon. Casting down imaginations and high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. That's our number one weapon. The warfare that the enemy wages against us is a war against our mind. He doesn't care what your political system is. Satan would love nothing more than get people fighting each other because one has this political viewpoint and the other has this political viewpoint. And okay, go ahead, guys, have at it. And they're doing the work for him. Our first weapon is regarding our mind. We cast down those imaginations and those high things. Those ideas, those doctrines that are false, the notions that are incorrect regarding the nature and the character of God, those things we cast out, we hurl them away from ourselves. They exalt themselves against doctrine, Bible doctrine, those things we cast out. We're not casting out people, we're not casting out lifestyles, we're not casting out political persuasions, we're not casting out countries. We are casting out wrong thinking in ourselves. I can't fight your war. I can only fight mine. If you don't even know what the battle is, how are you going to fight it? If you think the battle is against another person, you're not fighting the right battle. We're not here to fight people. We're here to love them. Simple as that. We're not here to fight people. We're here to love them. So the first thing is take care of your own thinking. Make sure it's right with God. The second one is bring every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. Faith, obedience in your thinking is where faith, obedience in your actions comes from. The Word of God never said to harm anyone. The Word of God said to love your enemies. Nowadays, there's so much rancor in the world. There's so many factions in the world. The real war is not between the factions. The real war is what Satan is trying to do to people. What Satan is trying to do to us also. When you see Christians who are now starting, certain ones, not many, but just some, and it's starting to rise, it's starting to get popular, who hate Israel, seriously? Where did hating Israel come into the plan of God? Where did, for that matter, hating anybody else? I'm not a fan of terrorism in the least. I absolutely detest it. But when did hating people like those folks in Hamas, yes, they have to be dealt with, but when did hating them as individuals come into the picture? Paul was a murderer of Christians before he became an apostle. Then he got saved. Why did he get saved? By the grace of God he got saved. God totally transformed that man. But he was not a good guy. Not until he got saved. And then it took 11 years. People have got to get this right. We function in the kingdom of God. Our function is not in the world. We participate in the correct manner as citizens of a nation, but we do not live for the world system. We do not live for the world's conflicts. We live for the function of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has grace as its throne. Let that give you a clue. The kingdom of God has grace as its throne in Hebrews 4:16. This is our function, from a throne of grace. Martin Luther King, he got it right. He said, you don't fight with violence. Christians have to be careful not to get so reactionary to those people they don't agree with or to those things that are clearly illegal or wrong or immoral that they forget that the issue is not those people. The issue is that Satan takes advantage of certain ones and that person's not the enemy. Their soul for the kingdom of God is the prize because Satan wants their soul and so does God. So what do we do? We don't fight the person. Yes, the justice system may have to come in and take over and deal with things. That is proper order in national entity. But as believers, what do? We pray for them. We do what we can to reach them. And if certain ones under correct order of the justice system arrive at the death penalty for crimes they may have committed, then we pray that they get saved before the penalty is carried out. And if possible, we try to reach them with the gospel. That's our function in the kingdom of God. We are the Christian who loves. So the second one is we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience, to faith obedience toward Christ. The third one is being ready to punish, it says, all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The word punish is ekdikeo, and it means retaliate against. We retaliate against disobedience to faith by means of faith obedience. We enter into faith obedience. That's what it's saying. We enter into the Romans 1:17 faith-to-faith lifestyle. That lifestyle in Galatians 5:6b is energized by the love of God. Therein is the motivation of the kingdom of God. It's the love of God. That's what we are after. Sometimes people say, well, what good will that do when you have all these things in the world? You have no clue how powerful love actually is. You have no clue how powerful prayer actually is. You have no clue how powerful faith actually is. You want to talk about real weapons. You want to talk about things that can really make a difference, really change things. It's not guns and bombs and what have you. It's love, it's faith, and it's prayer. You want to change the world, you're going to do it with love and faith and prayer. How many millennia have nations been going to war through violent means, and how much of it has actually ended up making any difference whatsoever? Yeah, one guy gets power for 70 years, and then he's done, and the whole thing changes, and then 100 years later, the archenemies are buddy-buddy. That makes no difference at all. You want to make a difference in this world in a way that you actually change things. You do it through love. You do it through faith. You do it through prayer. One soul at a time. Because 5 will chase 100, and 100 will put 10,000 to flight. Don't think one soul at a time is not enough. One soul at a time is everything. We function in the kingdom of God. We don't function in the world. You never take up carnal weapons in a spiritual battle. All you're going to do is cooperate with your enemy. Satan hates God. He hates humanity. How much does he love it when people take up worldly weapons against each other because they don't agree? Because one guy decides he wants this chunk of land. And maybe he'll even get to keep it for a few decades. And then it'll get relinquished anyway. I find it fascinating to think back at the Vietnam War. 50-some-odd thousand American soldiers lost their lives. Many others were injured or maimed. I don't even know how many North Vietnamese were killed or injured. I imagine it's much higher than that. And now we're buying things from them. Now we're doing trade with them. Now we're friendly toward them. What was the point? Carnal weapons never bring you to a good point. These things are meaningless. Yes, in the interactions of mankind, yes, they do have those results. Yes, that does happen, but it's not the plan of God. It's the result of God's plan being absent. God told Israel to go to war not to kill their enemy per se, but only when it meant that their place in the kingdom of God would be sustained. We're the same way. And we don't go to war as individuals. War is for nations, not for individuals. Not for groups. It's for nations and only to preserve their own freedom if another nation attacks. That's why people like Ronald Reagan and different ones, not just Reagan, a number of them, believed in that concept of peace through strength. They knew that strength was there to keep peace. Weapons were there to keep peace, not to kill. And then somebody will say, well, what do you think weapons do? It's like they said, if they don't love us, then let them fear us. You know what? God says the same thing. If you don't love me, then fear me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't love me, then fear me. Not because I want to hurt you, but so my kingdom can carry on. We have to understand what this means. We don't have carnal weapons. We don't want carnal weapons. Carnal weapons don't achieve anything. Imagine if as believers, we don't necessarily like what's going on in certain places in our country. Imagine as believers, if we go in mass and start preaching the gospel in those places, Start revealing the love of God in those places. Start giving people genuine hope, which only God can offer in those places. Bring in the mercy and the compassion of God in those places. Let there be a Word of God revival in those places. Things that happen in our country whereby we're looking at them and saying, why did this happen? Where are we failing? Why is this going south? The answer is simple. It's a kingdom issue whereby people are disoriented to the love of God and to the Word of God as a whole. And so we bring them the Word of God and we bring them the love of God. And this is how we wage our battle. Through the Word of God and the love of God. We don't try to come in there with violence or rhetoric or anything else. We come in there with love of God and Word of God. Christians need to understand this. Or Christians will succumb to what the enemy wants to do. And they'll participate in the enemy's tactics. Weapons like hatred. Dreadful weapon. Dreadful weapon. Accusation. Negativity. I find it interesting to see as certain people put out the dog whistles to try to see who'll stir up to anger or violence. You don't do that. That's not America. We don't do that. We come and we look for the love of God. We look to love people. We don't look to hurt them. We look to love them. Negativity is a carnal weapon. Hatred is a carnal weapon. Anger is a carnal weapon. Bitterness is a carnal weapon. Unforgiveness is a carnal weapon. These are things that deny the character of God. We function in the kingdom of God, and we function with the proper tools. We think of them as weapons because in the spiritual conflict they are. But they're actually our tools, not our weapons. These are our tools. This is what we use. In Matthew 5:43, you have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those cursing you, do well to those hating you, and pray for those abusing and persecuting you. We love our enemies because that's how we overcome them. We don't overcome them with hatred or accusation or maligning or violence or anything else. We overcome them by loving them. In 1 John 5:4, our love overcomes the world because the kingdom of God is real. Love is real. In Luke 9:56, the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Christ said to love your enemies and do good because that's the ultimate spiritual weapon, is loving people. He didn't come to destroy them. He came to save them. He loves his enemies so that he can take them out of Satan's kingdom and put them into his own kingdom. And he does it in Jeremiah 31:3 with loving kindness. And that is complete victory. It's not that he destroyed them. It's that he saved them. That's a powerful weapon. In Ephesians 6:13, we take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Our sword is the word of God in verse 17. Our ministry of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians 5:18, that's what it brings. You know how we win against our enemies? We make them into our brethren. Through the love of God, we draw them from the wrong kingdom into the right kingdom. Through the love of God, we draw them to Christ. Through the love of God, we draw them to the mercy of God when we make them our Brethren, that is the ultimate victory. We don't destroy our enemies. Jesus didn't come to destroy them. We're not interested in destroying them. We're interested in winning them to Christ. That's how the Savior dealt with them. That's how the Savior dealt with us when we were the enemies. And that's how we deal with those who are the enemies. Because in truth, the people are not the enemies. We don't war against flesh and blood. Satan is the enemy. And the people are his victims. And so we help the victims. We try to keep them from being victims any longer. And some people it'll work and some people it'll not work. But that's our effort in the kingdom battle. That is our function in the kingdom of God. In verse 16 of Ephesians 6, we take up a shield of faith and it covers everything. And this takes us to the throne of grace. That shield of faith which protects us brings us to the authority and the government of God. That's where the real power is. It's not in carnal weapons. It's in trusting God. The Word of God gives us that shield. The Word of God gives us protection for our mind through doctrine in verse 17. It protects our heart with a relationship to Christ in verse 14. And it reproduces truth by loving our enemies also in verse 14. And our walk with Christ is ordered by His purpose. These are the spiritual weapons. These are the ones that pull down the enemy's strongholds. It's interesting, sometimes you watch some of these news programs and certain ex-members of certain violent groups come on. And these people were delivered from those groups and now they're completely normal people. Some of them become Christians. That's the victory. The Word of God gives the victory. The Word of God gives the victory. Animosity does not give victory. Animosity fuels Satan's fire. It does not bring victory. Love them. Love your enemies. If you want to overcome them, then love them. Because that is the only thing that can overcome. Love your enemies. I'm not saying you like what they're doing. I'm not saying you even like them per se, but love them with the love of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. God's leading always reflects His nature and reveals the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We, in 2 Corinthians 5:20, are the ambassadors of Christ. We're the ambassadors of the kingdom of God. Therefore, we function in this world system as representatives of God's kingdom through the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is the only way that you can represent God. That's His manifestation in us, is His fruit. That's the only way we can represent God. We represent Him through love, through joy, through faithfulness, through peace, through temperance, through goodness, through patience, long-suffering. Those are our weapons. You think a gun is a weapon? A gun's no weapon.
People say, well, you should have guns to protect your family.
Okay, fine. The Constitution does give you that. But yet at the same time, then you hear about soldiers in the battlefield who are being shot at and the weapons can't hit them. soldiers who heard the bullets coming right at them, and then they heard the bullets going around them and then away from them. People who were warned of missiles. I remember that one guy in the first Iraq war. He was in a barracks in Saudi Arabia, and one of those Scud missiles was launched. And the Holy Spirit said to him, take a walk. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, he says, take a walk. He gets out of the building, he goes for a walk. And while he's on his walk, the missile hits the building. What kind of a weapon was that? It even hit its mark. Didn't usually, but that time it even hit its mark. Not him, it didn't. No weapon formed against us can prosper. Therefore, we don't try to use weapons that don't prosper. What does prosper? Fruit of the Holy Spirit prospers. Love prospers. Joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, temperance, meekness. These prosper. These give victory. Our victory is not in anybody's harm or anybody's destruction. Our victory comes when they leave Satan's kingdom through the mercy of God and become one with us in God's kingdom. That's victory. That's what our weapons are about. As Christians, we've got to be careful to not forget that, not to lose sight of that. And I'm not saying that Christians cannot be part of the military if it's a legitimate military. Pete Hegseth is a Christian and he's the head of the military. What I'm saying is that when we deal with weapons, we're dealing with the real war. Not the war between people or groups or politicians or political ideologies or political parties or countries. We're dealing with principalities and powers. We're dealing with the angelic conflict. And the prize for us as believers, the mind, and for those who are unbelievers, their souls. So we do what we can to win their souls, to the love of God. Then we overcome. That's our victory. Then we overcome. Do not mistake that. It seems that people are starting to mistake it more and more. Do not mistake it. In Luke 6:35, love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. This is the warfare. Who are you talking about? Your enemies. Not your friends, your enemies. Love your enemies. Be patient and kind toward your enemies. Hoping nothing in return. No repayment. Freely given by grace. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. This is how we function in the kingdom of God. This is how we reveal it. Not through carnal weapons, but through means that actually make a difference. And the only thing that really makes a difference is the throne of grace initiating the love of God to a lost and a dying world. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.